Greetings, flesh wound horror freaks, and welcome to a brand new Vinegar Syndrome special. I am Daniel Shine, joined as always by Todd Loya and Pugs Dread. We are always very excited to do our Vinegar Syndrome shows, and this one's no exception. A couple films that I have not seen in a very, very long time. So, yeah, we'll get right into it. Our first one is from 1982 and director Alfred Soule of Alice, Sweet Alice fame, which is one I'm assuming Pugs is a fan of. Or if not, you have to see Alice, Sweet Alice. Yeah, I figured. So, yes, from 1982. And, excuse me. In 1963, a group of college cheerleading students were brutally slain by a mysterious killer, resulting in the closure of the school they attended. Now, former student and professional cheerleader Bambi has decided to reopen the institution. As new students arrive, it's not long before the murderer makes his presence known, and the bloody hijinks resume. Even worse, the only hope for unmasking the culprit falls upon an overworked Canadian Mountie. Chakra Joe would have been so cool. A wildly bizarre horror film parody from Alfred Soule, Pandemonium features an astonishing cast including Carol Kane, Judge Reinhold, Phil Hartman, Tom Smothers, Paul Rubens, and Tab Hunter. Jam-packed with bizarre humor and even stranger death sequences, Vinegar Syndrome brings this never-on-disc early 80s cult favorite to Blu-ray in a brand new 2K restoration. All right, so this, I feel, out of all of the horror parodies of the 80s and 90s, you know, Saturday the 14th, Repossessed, all of those, Pandemonium is one I feel is not talked about as much. And revisiting it, I'm kind of surprised because this has some pretty quality laughs. I love the fact that Pee-wee Herman has a deaf feud with the horse. That made me laugh quite a bit. This one is, you know, obvious. It's PG. You know, you don't have, like, you know, wieners going through stalls and tickling people's faces. This is not Scary Movie era. They could have done it with the horse and Pee-wee Herman, but, you know, PG, what are you going to do?
Right, the horse into a special movie theater.
It was his idea. But, yeah, man, I mean, this thing is loaded with future stars. I mean, Phil Hartman, Judge Reinhold, who's always, you know, great at this type of humor. I liked it. I don't know. I mean, there's the occasional bit that might come off as kind of corny to some people watching this for the same time, but in this time, sorry. But yeah, I dug it. It's goofy, but it's fun. It made me laugh. I like the POV, like spear shot, and all the crazy shit going on. Am I alone though? Because I really don't know how this one will play with you guys. What do you think, Pugs?
I think Pandemonium is the perfect name for this movie. Mm-hmm. It is hard to follow. And some parts are worth laughing at. A lot of it's not. That plane scene, or that when he jumps so high and he get the Asian plane, and then there's a Godzilla as a stewardess. Yes. That's probably the hardest I laughed the entire film. But the rest of it was a struggle to get through, man. I think this is just, I don't think I was in the mood, and it was just a little too crazy for me. And usually I'm all about crazy. But yeah, this was hard to get through for me. I don't know.
You didn't... Go ahead. Sorry.
No, please. Go ahead.
You didn't pop when Carol Kane was talking about dirty pillows, and then I'm gonna sleep with truck drivers and get crabs. I thought.
I mean, I chuckled, but no, man.
Well, it didn't hit with you. I'm surprised.
Yeah. Comedy is subjective, as we learned on our Bill and Ted show. So
you never know.
What works for someone may not work for someone else.
But did it work for you, Todd?
I think it worked for me more than it did Pugs. I actually prefer this to Student Bodies, which I haven't seen in a while either. But is it perfect? No. I think it's a lot of fun. But you definitely, I do think you have to be kind of in the right mood. It's set, it's an older, you know, type of film. Like, if you don't like Student Bodies, I don't think you're going to like this.
It is interesting that, again, PG at the time, and you could get gags about, like, gay porno magazines and, you know. What's
the Beverly Hills Cop guy's name? I can't keep
Judge Reinhold.
Judge Reinhold.
Yeah, Reinhold. When he was grabbing the girl's boobs, that shit was funny.
Air Tokyo, I was like, whoa.
Yeah, that was bad today.
Yeah. And then just so many, like, lines crack me up. He has a tiny little pee-pee, I thought was funny. And King Kong Bundy basically, like, killing people on the toilet, I thought was not literally Bundy, I'm sorry, but yeah, I don't know. This one's very dumb, goofy humor, but it worked for me. I actually think you know, it's not the best of the best in terms of the parodies, but most of the jokes were hit rather than miss for me.
I think I would have had a better time watching it with friends.
Yeah.
You probably would have. You probably would have. But yeah, I dug it. And some of the lines too. I mean, some of it was kind of dry. What was when they were leaving the horse in the car and he's like, but don't play the radio. He's like, play the radio if you want. It's just little stuff. And I'm not, I'll say this. I am not a Pee Wee Herman fan. I never got into that as a kid. Like it seems everybody else of my age did, but he was really funny in this. I know you're
shaking. He's also very good in Cheech and Chong's next movie.
Yeah, he is. Yeah. Or Mystery Men. I think that's a pretty fun underrated.
Go ahead, Pugs. Say Batman.
Batman Returns. He was bad. Father Oswald. Father Cumberbatch. R.I.P.
Yeah. Dan would much rather go see a movie with him than watch him in a movie.
But no, and I love Carol Kane. Carol Kane is awesome. She was like the funniest thing, and there wasn't a lot of funny things in Dead Don't Die. One thing I remember is Chardonnay. Like her one line.
Yeah, that was something.
But you know, she was a bright spot. It'll be a fun Halloween watch if you want something light. And again, we talked about it with Bill and Ted. This is a very specific like time period. Some of the humor may or may not hit with you now, but it's a lot of fun. Once again, it may have a PG rating, but there is some, naughty humor. I don't know too many PG ratings now where you can talk about crap. No,
well, there isn't. I miss the 2 rating system. Because everyone tries to get a PG-13 now, and it just it sanitized everything, I think.
No, it definitely did. It definitely did. Well, we can go ahead and rate it, and I'll discuss the extras real quick. But for me, like I said, it's not an elite title, but it made me laugh fairly regularly. Again, very goofy, but I'm a 3.5. What say you, Pugs?
I am a 2. It's good enough, and I think if I was in a better mood or something wasn't clicking, but it's not a piece of shit, so.
Okay.
It pains me to say, I'm with Dan on this one.
Nice.
I'm a 3.5 also.
Nice. Before you know it now, Todd, your smile's going to be back.
And I'm going to be talking about lesbians every show.
I've been better.
Sombrero.
Oh, yes. Oh. See, if Dan said that, it would have been racist. He's going to tell me to do a fucking hat dance. And
that's messed up. All right, so on the extras front, we do get Dying of Laughter, an interview with director Alfred Soul. Really good piece. It runs about 14 minutes, and he talks about doing Alice, Sweet Alice, which was a big hit for him and leading to this. The original title at one point being Friday the 12th, which was actually might have gotten it more attention, actually. I feel like that actually would have worked better than Pandemonium for marketing purposes. This was his first comedy. Talks about his nerves and how well, because he found the legendary Groundling Theater in California where he met Hartman and Paul Rubens and a lot of other people that became part of the cast. And talks about working with classic actors on this too, like Eve Arden, Tab Hunter, of course, who had a later fame with John Waters. Great interview, highly recommended, and this film looks fantastic. Typical Vinegar Syndrome excellence. So moving on to our next film of the evening, which is an overlooked title that even I kind of forgot about this one, because it's just one that never quite caught on, which is, I think, kind of strange. And that's 1987 film The Caller from director Arthur Allen Siedelman. And The Caller: on a cold winter night, a woman living alone in the middle of the woods receives an unexpected visitor, a mysterious middle-aged man who asks to use her phone. Obliging the stranger, it soon becomes apparent that they might know more about each other than they're letting on. As hours and then days pass, the two become engaged in a series of bizarre and sinister mind games, uncovering unnerving secrets along the way. All the while, the ongoing confrontation begs the question of what mysterious events are transpiring in the nearby woods. Sumptuously photographed by Danielle Nanzuzzi, The Caller is a labyrinth mystery tinged with horror and science fiction elements, which stars Malcolm McDowell alongside Madeline Smith. One of the few theatrical features from veteran TV director Arthur Allen Siedelman and acclaimed writer Michael Sloan, Vinegar Syndrome presents the original and unsettling piece of 80s weirdness in a brand new 2K restoration. Okay.
I have one question. This wasn't a play first?
Feels like it very well could be. It'd be kind of a good one, isn't it? Could be. I don't have an answer on that one, but it very well could be.
I'm on the research.
Okay, yes. So Pugs, was this a first time watch for you? Did you like it?
I saw this before Pandemonium, by the way. And yes, I did. Okay. I actually like this a lot. I always like these bottleneck movies where it's like maybe one or two locations, but it's just two people having a conversation, trying to figure something out.
Mm-hmm.
And I was interested as fuck. And whoa, at the end, whoa.
Yeah.
What the fuck? That was a fucking out of nowhere. So, yeah, Malcolm McDowell fucking rules. Come on, Malcolm McDowell. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I liked it a lot. I'm really interested to talk spoilers about this one.
So. Yeah, we will at the end of the show probably have a short. Well, this one probably mostly.
Overall, I think everyone should check this out, see if you guys like it. It's cool. I was interested the entire time.
I was as well. I actually really love this. I feel like I did see it, but again, it's one of those ones that's been a while, and watching it again now, it's a two character piece. I mean, it's just, you know, something is not right. Their interaction's very strange. And it just draws you in. It does. It kind of has that Twilight Zone kind of vibe to it.
Yeah.
It's like, yeah, it is. It's like a perfect, like, feature length Twilight Zone story. And it's just kind of a back and forth battle of wits between these two people. And there, several times during the movie, I'm like, where the fuck is this going? And that's a very good thing. This is a gem. This really is a gem for me. Todd, what did you think? Did you like it as much as us?
I did, and I think I've seen this once before forever ago, but mm-hmm. I didn't remember it. I thought it was funny because he shows up already dressed like Dr. Loomis.
Did you want the droogs to show up at the house?
I was waiting. When it started raining, I'm like, sing it. Sing it, dude.
But yeah, it is really good. I mean, yeah, it's a small piece, you know, small, minimal locations. Produced by Charlie Band.
Yes. Richard Band Music.
Yeah, I mean, it was, yeah, this one did just slip between the cracks because I haven't thought about it since 30 years. Mm-hmm. 30 years at least.
Victim of a production company folding too, which I think threw it.
Was it Transworld?
I think so.
Maybe. But yeah, it is a gem in this package, like an unexpected one that I wasn't expecting to stand out as much that it did. I was most looking forward to Pandemonium, but was pleasantly surprised with this one.
Yeah, this is a good one to just, like I said, luckily I think we've been pretty vague in our review and we haven't given a lot away, but you definitely should just grab this one, you know, make yourself whatever you like, hot cocoa, booze, it all works, and just sit down and experience it, because it drew me in. It's just like a mysterious sort of, yeah. It's this one's a shame to me that this did have a troubled, you know, distribution issue, because I do think this actually could have possibly been a hit. I love the idea of it. It really made your imagination run wild. It's like a really good book, and it just, I can't say enough good things about this. One of the better Malcolm McDowell films that you probably haven't seen. So super, super high recommendations for this one. We'll talk a little bit about the extras, and we will be talking more about this in spoilers, but Pugs, what do you rate this one?
I am going back and forth between a 4.5 and a 5. Mm-hmm. I think I'm going to settle at a 5 just because it came out of nowhere and I knew nothing about it going in. And I had a fucking fantastic time watching it. Yeah, 5.
Cool. Todd?
I am a 5 also. I really, really like this one. But now, do we get one big hole? Let's find out.
One big hole. Wow. There you go.
All right. So that's the highest recommendation we can give on this one.
No, this was a special film.
I was wondering how you guys were going to lie. I'm glad we all kind of are agreement on this one.
It's not like I was expecting it to suck. Like, right. And I feel like I probably did see it. And maybe, you know, as a little kid, it was too talky or something. I don't know.
I was shocked how invested I got into it.
Yeah.
It kept me glued.
Oh, yeah. I wanted to know what the hell was up. What was, happening. And
what's going on here?
And I think it gives you just the right amount of what you need, which was also good we're going to talk more about this in spoilers. But on the extras front, we do get Boiling Over, an interview with a 15-minute interview with Arthur Allen Seidelman. And he talks a little bit about how the production all came together. Charles Band and the music by Richard Band. You know, the challenges of making an interesting two-person film. And it's one you almost, again, you want to watch it again. I'm getting ahead of myself. Talks about this creating the stage, John Carl Beekler's effects on it, and yeah, great piece. We also get an audio interview with Michael Sloan, the writer, that's 9 minutes. He's a very successful guy, known for the Equalizer TV series and even the recent Denzel Washington films. He talks a little bit more about the production history and everything, and how it kind of basically bypassed theaters, which is a real shame with this one. The production company folding and how that affected it. Another excellent release from Vinegar Syndrome. This is probably, like I said, don't overlook this one. Please don't. This is like, it may not be the most known movie that they put out, but it's one that I think is well worth grabbing. It's a good time. And all right, on to our main event. But once again, we will have a spoiler talk. So yeah. So our Flesh Wound After Dark entry of the evening, which
if you got sensitive ears, is the time to,
where's my Kleenex?
Move along.
If you have said, you can't be that sensitive.
Dan, just remember, we're still on YouTube.
We don't want to
get trauma off of YouTube, which sucks. And we haven't even talked about that.
Talked about, oh, I didn't know.
Troma's YouTube got shut down by YouTube. Troma's YouTube got shut down by YouTube for community standards.
I can imagine, like, if they had some of their movies up. I've never
They had a bunch of them.
Yeah, so. There's a few that are probably, yeah. All right, so moving on to our After Dark title, which is a 1981 film from director Gary Graver, Indecent Exposure. Tony Ross, a photographer by trade, uses his position and influence to seduce his beautiful young models. When his best friend Ted, who's just gotten divorced, turns to him as a shoulder to cry on, Tony invites him to join on a road trip, promising that he'll get lucky along the way. Also along for the ride are Tony's frustrated girlfriend, Lila, and his assistant, June, who begins to have feelings for Ted. But their journey takes an unexpected twist when they arrive at the home of the mysterious Arielana. Directed and photographed by Orson Welles collaborator Gary Graver, Indecent Exposure stars Veronica Hart, Jesse St. James, Robert Kerman, Eric Edwards, and Georgina Spelvin. Vinegar Syndrome presents this gem of early 80s erotica on Blu-ray, newly restored from its original negative and completely uncut on home video for the first time. All right. So, Indecent Exposure. This is, again, Robert Kerman, of course, of Cannibal Holocaust fame, once again proving that he's a great actor. He, at this time in the golden age, adult actors were actors. I like the accent, even though I should be offended by it. The coconut oil scene was pretty funny too. But let's be honest, the best part of this was the celery diddling. That was pretty funny. We've all done it, I'm sure. But this one has its humor, but it's also kind of a couple friendly adult feature at the same time. Definitely for the era an A picture in terms of, you know, production quality and everything. Eric Edwards is not my favorite, but he is another guy that can actually act. I kind of just wanted more comedic bits with Kerman personally. But it's, again, fairly simple story that probably holds up again to a lot of mainstream films of the time. What say you, Pugs?
Story-wise, I do think this is kind of like a Lifetime Oxygen type story, but just not really heavy.
With celery diddling.
Yeah.
Let's be honest. Most Lifetime movies need more of that. So
for real. Just interjected with adult imagery. The movie looks fucking fantastic, though. Like, it's clean and sharp. I was impressed by that, like, when I first started. I'm like, holy shit, this looks really good. This is the 80s movie. But, you know, back then they used to treat adult films with respect. So, I liked, it was just fun. The story's not very fucking, like, intriguing or anything, but it was a fun time. The naughty parts, the adult stuff, not bad. I've seen worse. seen better. But for the 80s, fuck yeah. Get him, Cannibal Holocaust guy.
He should have had like the adult version of that.
It's not too late.
I don't want to see the polling scene though on that one.
Oh, well, I can do. Yeah. Right.
It's gonna come all the way out. Thank you, Dan.
Being good.
Props. I really like this one too. Well, really, I mean, I like the story. It was kind of light, but I mean, it had all the different things together that made it an enjoyable watch. I mean, mm-hmm. it had some attractive girls. It had, you know, a basic story structure. It looked good. Not my favorite. We know I like a lot more humor in mine, like Corporate Assets, still number one. But this one, it was solid. I mean, for what it was, it wasn't like this one didn't feel like a party film. I think you nailed it with it's more of a couples film.
Yeah, no, absolutely. And it's a good one. You know, the scenes were pretty steamy and deliver, I think, what you could want. And if you're a fan of Veronica Hart, which of course I am, you'll have a good time with it. And Georgina Spelvin even popping up as well, Devil and Miss Jones, who I know you've met, right, Todd? Maybe not.
No.
Okay. Not implying you did anything. I'm just saying you may have met her.
No. I'm only porn stars I think I've met are China, Sunny. No. Sounds like Dan's list.
All right. Let's rate this one. I'm a 3.5. I think it's well worth your time if you're a fan of the performers. What say you, Pugs?
I think 3.5 is fair. Yeah, 3.5 is fair. I'll go 3.5.
And there are some funny gags. The strap-on chase was funny.
That part fucking was hilarious. And then she's supposed to be like the clean one and all. Yeah.
Okay. Yeah, then the parents, it's like.
You know. I'm kind of shocked, and I'm a 3. I'm the low end, and I.
That's cool,
but I mean, still good. I mean, yeah, still good number. Yeah. I figured I was going to be like the higher one.
The opening scene, though, like after the opening sex scene, after they're dancing, mm-hmm. and then they're just like in the corner up against the wall. I'm like, this is good.
Yeah,
this is really good.
So check it out, guys, in Decent Exposure. Let's talk some spoilers now, guys. So I think pretty much the caller, I'm assuming, is the only one that we...
Yeah, and if you're still listening now, this is the spoiler warning.
Yeah, and please do for this one because you don't want to ruin it. Spoiler warning.
Okay.
All right. So spoilers ahead. Did you have any like expectations as to what was going on, Pugs?
No, I didn't have a clue. I'm like one. Well, I guess I'm like one of these people has to be like a killer of some type.
Mm-hmm.
But other than that, no. That ending, that reveal, what the fuck? That's how
nice effects work.
Yeah, and then what's really cool is that he went on to play a Superman villain in the Superman the animated series. Named Metello. So when that was going on, I'm like, holy shit, this is very familiar. Because he looked like that, just like a robot stuff underneath, like ripped out, and he's powered by kryptonite. So this, I was getting that image in my head the entire time while he was doing that. This is fucking cool.
Yeah, it wasn't even clear until like the hand kind of came up. Because I'm like, wait, what the fuck is he? And then it's like a fucking like cyborg or robot. I thought that was pretty badass, and when the other one pops up at the end, it's like, oh, that's so cool and so mean. It's like it reminded me of Cube in a way that's like you almost want the sequel, but it's like it's not a good idea because then it's just like it's going to be over explained and you know, it gives you just enough. I mean, some sort of cruel experiments being run. It's like, and if you notice, like during those scenes, that brief scene when they were in that little shopping center, there were cars, but you had no glimpses of anyone. Yeah. Like there was nobody, as far as I remember, that was even seen in the background. So I'm like, have they like taken over the earth and are they just running experiments or is this more isolated? It's just,
but he also never said why, right? Like, I didn't miss that.
No,
he's
no.
Like, what, like a punishment of some type, which I think would be kind of cool.
Rats in a maze sort of thing. I mean, it leaves your mind to wander, which is a good thing. You know, in science fiction, it's definitely a good thing. What did you think, Todd? Did you kind of know what was going on or?
No, absolutely not. And I'm kind of glad that we didn't know. I mean, I'm kind of glad that we were kind of left to figure it out.
Awesome. Yes. So yeah, guys, I know we've put this one over, but check it out. Don't not pick it up just because you haven't heard of it because.
And I'm super glad we didn't know the fucking ending. So if you can avoid it at all costs, I'm saying it's fucking stupid, but don't tell your friends once you find out like what the ending is.
Yeah.
Just recommend it without giving anything away.
Malcolm McDowell's another one of those guys. He's made so many movies and there are some that just are not very well known, but are really good. I always like Time After Time. I mean, that's a studio movie, so it's somewhat known, but I always thought that was a pretty badass flick with David Warner as Jack the Ripper. And
I need to rewatch that. It's been a while.
Yeah, it's a fun movie.
I was trying on HBO Max.
Yeah, that was 1970.
Well, I'm just saying it's a Warner Brothers film, so.
Yeah. That's all we got for you guys. Be sure to like, share, and subscribe here on YouTube. It helps us out a lot. We're new to YouTube. And patreon.com/fleshwoundfeatures. Support us. It all starts at $1. We have uncensored early content and all sorts of cool stuff on there for you. Facebook, Horror Cartel, Flesh Wound Radio Group, and Flesh Wound Features Facebook page. Twitter at Flesh Wound Radio, and we're all on there as well. Stalk us on Instagram and the eBay store, which you can access through fleshwoundfeatures.com. That's all I've got. Good night.
Namaste.
Good night.
Thanks, Will.
Heil shine.